Jeremiah chapter 17. There we are. All right. I wish you could see that smile. Got the candy bar in her hand and a smile just across the face. Good stuff.
Thank
you. You're welcome. Eddie from Ripley, Tennessee, writes the Reader's Digest, and he said, a salesman came by my uncle's place of business and was trying to sell him some pens. Uncle was rather resistant to it all until the salesman got him with this hook. He said, if you'll buy 10,000 pens engraved with your company's name on it, you will be entered to win a 32-foot yacht. Well, ever the gambler, Uncle Tom took the bait and he purchased the pens. Well, sure enough, a couple weeks after the pens arrived, he got notice that he had actually won the contest. And about a week later, it arrived. A little plastic toy yacht, about 12 inches long, with 32 plastic feet glued on the bottom of it. Have you ever anticipated something only to be severely disappointed in what you got? God is the only true source of life and peace there is. This world has a way of putting lipstick on a pig, decorating dung until it looks like dessert, but in the end, sin is always utter misery. And that's really the story, the truth behind the book of Jeremiah, if not the whole Bible. Jesus is the only way to true peace, joy, and happiness. All other ground is sinking sand. This morning we're treated to a very special spot in Scripture. It's not a message that the prophet was giving to the public. This was a conversation between the prophet and God. You see, life had gotten very hard for the prophet, and he needed to get away with the Lord for a little while and have a talk. I think it was probably one of those discouraging times when Jeremiah felt like giving up. He had some questions for the Lord, and he needed some answers before he could carry on in his ministry. And this is a very special time between God and man. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Father, we come to you this morning for a message for the mature. When we were young, we needed the candy. We needed something sweet. We needed an incentive. But now as time has gone by, we just need the truth. When life rocks us harder than we ever thought possible, we need this solid rock underneath our feet. I appreciate that you did not candy coat it to Jeremiah, but you gave him a hope and a future. Do that for us today too, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the prophet is bleeding before God. It's so hard right now, God. And the Lord responds with these verses. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the stream. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Now, that would be a great text if you were giving a public message, a plea for people to come to the Lord Look at the difference here. What sign do you want to be on? Surely you want to serve the Lord and everything go well in your life. You don't want to be like those on the outside, those that are in rebellion against God, parched land all alone. But this was a private message to a man who was struggling himself. And it almost sounds disingenuous. Okay, the ungodly are cursed and the godly are blessed. But look around Jeremiah's day. The ungodly were running around free and happy. And this prophet of God had known tragedy after tragedy. And then the Lord comes by. Hey, buck up, bucko. You're lucky to be blessed. I can imagine Jeremiah mumbling under his breath. I guess, but I don't feel so blessed right now, God. You see, his enemies included the king and all the high officials in the land. They had beaten him. They had put him in a dungeon. They had thrown him into a cistern where he sunk up to his waist in mud. Jeremiah is lonely. He is hungry. He is in pain. He is in chains. Yet he is the righteous and they are the wicked. Take God's word that declare the blessing of the righteous and the curse on the ungodly and lay them over Jeremiah's life. You see that something's amiss here? It doesn't seem to jive, thus saith the Lord, and thus I am experiencing. You ever been there? God has declared blessing over you, and yet it seems like everything you're getting is a curse. There are times when trouble hits us, but then there are seasons when it seems to linger. And Jeremiah's season lasted a very long time. So how do you think these words felt to Jeremiah? He came in for some comfort. He came in for some encouragement from God, for a sign from the Lord. And this is what he hears. The wicked are cursed. The righteous are blessed. Are God's words true? Yes. Are God's words true when we don't feel them? From what perspective? Eternity. God will make all things right. He will elevate his own. He will abase the wicked and the crooked. And God is speaking to Jeremiah from eternity. Hang in there, man. Just a few more weary days, and all will be made right. Now, how much would those words encourage a man under severe trial? Oh, good things are coming. Well, that depends on the man's faith. If the man has no faith, he takes them as a wound. He takes them as teasing from the Lord. Oh, yeah, the righteous are always well off. Well, I knew this was a bunch of hooey. But if a man has great faith, he digs his roots down a little bit deeper. And he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I have vested my life in God. And you're my witness as well as I am. Some of the promises of God take a lifetime to fulfill. Many of the promises of God we will not see until we get to the other side. It is for you and I to be people of faith. Here I stand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But the prophet ekes out back to God, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? God, here we are. The people that I think are wicked are all acting in your name. They beat me in your name. They call me a hypocrite. They call me a heretic. They say I'm a blasphemer. They say they're doing God's will when they beat me. Who's to say which is righteous and which is wicked? We're all saying we're of God. Who sorts this out? Who separates the sheep from the goats? How do we know? And God responds back as he says, here we are, God. Who's to say which is right and which is deceitful? The Lord answers in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Jeremiah, it's me. I separate the sheep from the goats. I know the righteous ones. I know the hypocrites. I know what they're saying to you, and I know how you stood fast. I am the Lord, and I will reward you for your stand. And Jeremiah seems to get it as he says back to the Lord in verses 11 and 12. He says, I understand that the righteous, when they get their wealth by ill-gotten gain, they're like a partridge. A partridge is apt to sit on another bird's nest to hatch another bird's eggs. And I understand that the day will come when those young ones grow up and they'll say, you ain't my mama. And they'll trot off somewhere else. That partridge will think it's got a family, but it doesn't. And it's just like that that the wealth to those who have gotten it by deceit will one day just fly away. They will think they're wealthy. They will think they're well-to-do. They'll think they're smarter than everybody else because they cheat. How many have gotten tired of scams? Telemarketers, this is the IRS. You need to, we've got your grandson. We, you know, on and on it goes. How many hate that they scam so many good, innocent people out of hard-earned money? Savings that they're depending on. Well, the Bible says that one day they will be proven to be a fool. Jeremiah says, I get it. Okay, I see the big picture here. The day of destruction is coming for the wicked. They maybe look large and in charge right now. They run around in their robes and their chariots and they've got plenty. While I'm sitting here in chains and I'm starving, their day's coming. Okay, God, I get that. He's bought in. He's committed to the truth, come what may. But Lord, what about today? Jeremiah cries out to the Lord, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. In these verses, Jeremiah appeals to the Lord for healing. He was wounded by his persecutors, but he appeals to God for his help. None of us can stand under constant ridicule alone. That's why the prophet had to get alone with God for a while. Lord, I'm not sure I can do this thing. Jeremiah was under orders from the Lord to expose the sins of some very powerful people. Jeremiah didn't look for justice to come from the court system, that somebody was going to come in and say, oh, take the chains off this man. He's innocent. We find him not guilty. Let him go and restore to him what you've taken off him. He's not looking for the court system. He's not looking to his government. He has served God, and to God he appeals. He didn't look for his jailers to provide salve for his body's wounds. There were no dispensaries in the jails in those days. He looked to the Lord alone for all that he needed. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. He didn't waste his breath. He didn't waste his mind wondering when justice was going to come to his nation, when people were going to get it right. He said, God, I hurt. You can heal. Lord, my tank is empty. You can fill. You're the one I look to. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. You're the one that I have served. He didn't look to this world for his supply. He didn't look here for his reward. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Jesus is all I need. There is a place where we serve and we look to God alone. He's the one that has what we need. Our call takes us out of our comfort zone, away from our paycheck. He supplies. Not a foolhardy or wistful dream or focusing on God's hand. I need this, I need that. But an answer to his call. Lord, I know who you call, you equip. And it may not make sense to those around me. They may laugh and ridicule. Did you know that Jeremiah's own brothers laughed at him? They called him a fool for being a preacher. They called him a fool for the way he preached the truth of God when no one wanted to hear it. But Jeremiah was there because he had a call on his life. He was blessed even as the people cursed him because he was walking in obedience to God. And that blessing included these private conversations with the Lord few others have experienced. It's at the edges of this life that we get close to God. It's on those edges that we often get cut. We often get injured. But as we cry out to him there, he responds. There's something mysterious about the ways of God, duh. But one of those mysteries is he often cannot pour into us until he has broken us. It's in our brokenness that we reach out for something that's beyond us and beyond what our friends can do for us. It's in that bleeding time. It's in that broken time. When only a word from God can help us get up off of our face, begin to breathe again, and begin to live. And all of us, when our loved ones are there, do everything we can to make it a little easier, bring a little comfort. But nothing suffices until God breathes across that soul again. And brings purpose and meaning and understanding into that life. In verse 15, Jeremiah describes what is perhaps the most trying experience of any prophet, being laughed at. He has gotten a burden from God. He has seen the terror that is coming. He is torn up because these people are going to suffer so much. And so he goes out into his generation and he says, repent. God is calling us to repent. If we don't repent, we're going to be destroyed. You need to listen to God now. And they laughed at him. Bah, what a buffoon. You've been saying that message for how many years now, Jeremiah? Give it up. Come on, pal. Change your tune. Look at the guys that are preaching the prosperity. They're doing really well. Look at you. And come on, Jerry, liven up a little bit. He's being laughed at. We deliver God's warnings. He allows time for repentance. But you see, the people misunderstand that time for repentance. They look around and none of what you're saying has happened. None of this has come true. Life goes on like it always has. What's wrong with you? They don't believe in the coming storm because there's nary a cloud in the sky. Our economy's never been stronger. You've never been safer. You got a cordless drill. What could be better? Life is sweet. What is all this naysaying talk? Just get with the program and you're going to be fine. And that leaves the preacher looking like a fool. They're all doing their parties. They're having their way. And Jeremiah is crying in a corner. So out of that, Jerry bleeds out his pain in verse 16. I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Jeremiah had remained faithful. He stayed at his post. Though God knew he felt like running away more than once, he says, I have not run away from being your shepherd. You put me here, I'm doing what you asked me to do. I have not desired the day of despair. God, you know I have not prayed judgment on these people. I have preached judgment, hoping they would turn, hoping they would repent, but I have not wished judgment. That's not my will. I know it's not your will either, God. I have not been a nasty. He wasn't a Jonah that wanted to see people destroyed. No, he was a Jeremiah who wanted them to turn and come to God. What passes my lips is open before you. God, you've heard every word that I've spoken. You know that I've stayed true to your call. In verse 17, or before then, he says, do curse the wicked and bless the faithful. Do what you said. Do what you said you would do. Let me see it. Have you ever lived and been faithful to God and you've said things that were of the Lord and yet people weren't getting it? Have you ever yearned in your heart? Just show them, Lord. Show them you mean what you say. Don't let them get away with it for their own sake. Well, Jeremiah actually lived to see that day. The Babylonian army came in. Although he was in chains, they set him free. They gave him some food. They gave him some clothes. They gave him some money. They said, you can come back to Babylon with us, or you could stay here if you like. But as Jeremiah looked around, many of those priests, many of those prophets that had persecuted him, were all dead, scattered on the ground. After 40, 50 years of preaching, the day finally came when judgment fell on the people around him. And what God had told him, the wicked are cursed, the righteous are blessed. He was able to see it and hold it and know it for himself. You might think sometimes that this message that we preach gets old. The world's out there having a whole lot of fun. Wouldn't we be better off if we just ran with the world? No. A day is coming when you will be so glad, like Jeremiah, you stayed true to God. Verse 17, he says, do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. God, I'm not going to run after what they run after, but when that day comes, I'm trusting you, Lord. I've lived my whole life for your glory. I'm trusting you that when judgment falls, I will rise. I'm trusting you that when the world goes down, I will go up. I'm trusting you, Lord. I've banked on it with my whole life. Don't be a terror to me, oh God. You are my refuge in the day of trouble. Aren't you glad that there's a place where we can go when our life is troubled? Aren't you glad that there is a hiding place, there is a quiet space where we can get alone and talk to our God and he meets us there? In these private sessions with the Lord, Jeremiah sought forgiveness, refinement, anointing, and restoration. Not exception, privilege, or to be excused. Well, God, I can do what they do. It's going to be all right. No, he separated himself, and he followed the Lord. And his prayer was, search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, separate me from my sin and draw me close to you. We're going to sing a chorus in just a moment. On eagle's wings. And it's a call for what we've just been talking about here this morning. Where do you draw your strength from? Who do you follow? What are you going after? Have you compromised? Have you found a comfortable faith somewhere where everybody likes you and all is well? Or have you decided to take your stand with the Lord your God? These are the days of decision. Dedicate your life to God, and God will take care of you. Would you stand with me this morning?